And Happy New Year to those of you in the Pacific time zone. Happy New Year 2021. In a moment, Cheryl Jones joins us. Our investigative reporter will be talking about some incredible things she's been working on, including the global nightmare of non-human intruders, sleep paralysis, shadow people. And then in our last hour, we call it Conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Cheryl Jones with us for the next couple hours. She comes on every month with a series of great reports. And you weren't kidding when you said you were going to be on New Year's Eve, Cheryl.
No, I wasn't. And Happy New Year to you.
You too.
To everyone at Coast and to all of our listeners, too.
Let's hope 2021 is a much better year that's unfortunately starting the same. But I think it'll be better, don't you?
I think so, and I was glad to hear John Hoag say that it is changeable.
Yep, it sure is, absolutely.
It isn't concrete, so we have hope.
Cheryl is our investigative reporter. She has worked in multiple markets, including CNN, as the only television broadcaster that I know of that's been a news anchor person and a degreed meteorologist as well. And that's quite a... Do you miss weather at all?
Oh, I do, but you can't do everything. Your time is only limited to what you have, and so you have to just do what you can do in the amount of time you do have. I love a lot of things, but you just don't have time to do everything.
Well, that's true, too. Now, this series of reports that you've got for us has to do with the global nightmare. Tell us about this.
Yes, this is about the global nightmare of non-human intruders, including shadow people. It covers sleep paralysis. As it turns out, all over the world in various cultures, there are uninvited entities of many different kinds that show up in the middle of the night to stalk and frighten innocent people, men, women, and children, while they're just peacefully sleeping in their own beds and their own homes. My guest is investigative scholar and analyst of the unknown and unexplained, Robert Gorman. His work has been featured in national magazines, including the current issue of Fate magazine, and sourced in many books and popular TV shows, including Dark Matters, Twisted But True, and The Unexplained, among others. He says this global nightmare with these paranormal nighttime prowlers or psychic vampires are non-human intelligences that are interactive and invade people's personal space with impunity. Listen now to our conversation.
Robert, welcome to Coast.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity to share my ongoing research with your listeners.
We can't wait. Now, this is your first time here on Coast, although I believe one of your articles has been featured on the website in the past. And we'll be talking about both shadow people and sleep paralysis tonight and how both topics ended up in the same research project, the global nightmare of non-human intruders. It's not sleep paralysis. Robert, how did you come up with that title?
Well, I originally started with the Non-Human Research Agency in 2012. And looking at the various entity cases that have taken place all across the world and where these encounters took place, I learned that a solid number of the cases took place in people's homes, whereas entities would suddenly appear in a person's home, men, women, and children would wake up and find out that they weren't alone. And then looking at how the medical community handled these cases, just like the old Air Force called all UFOs, swamp gas, and weather balloons, the medical community called all of these paranormal home invasions sleep paralysis.
And you thought that was a problem?
Well, once I investigated sleep paralysis, and I mean really investigated it, researched it, I discovered that the differences between sleep paralysis and paranormal home invasions are very clear and very easily categorized.
We'll talk about how medical science wants to debunk all of the nocturnal encounters in just a moment. But first, I want you to tell our listeners just a little bit about your work as an investigative scholar and analyst in the paranormal world and magazines you've written for and so on.
Well, I've written for Fate magazine since 1980, and my feature article in the October issue of that year, Alias Carlos Allende, publicly revealed the identity and truth about the man responsible for the Philadelphia experiment and the Vero document hoaxes. Another article of mine, Free UFO Detectors, which appeared in the April 2000 issue, was the only Fate magazine article to ever be reprinted in a high school textbook. So I've been at this for a long time, since the mid-60s, actually, professionally writing about them since the latter part of the 70s. And I've worn the hats of official blogger and online columnist for Fate website. It's been a fun ride.
Tell us about some TV shows that you've been involved with.
Well, I act as a consultant, done some on-camera work. I've done History's Mysteries. I've done some work for Animal X, Unsolved Mysteries. I've written different things that has served as the research for different TV shows on the paranormal.
And tonight we're talking about the subject that you have most recently been involved with, the Non-Human Intruder Project, The Global Nightmare of Non-Human Invaders. It's not sleep paralysis. And you mentioned the medical science a bit ago. You say medical science wants to debunk all nocturnal encounters by simply calling them some form of sleep paralysis, and that all reported nocturnal intruders are nothing more than nightmares that are superimposed upon our real world. Can you explain that?
Well, aware sleep paralysis occurs when the brain is in the transition state between dreaming, sleep, and waking up. It's important to understand exactly what happens. You awaken to discover you cannot move a muscle. With the exception of perhaps your eyes and your breathing, you are virtually frozen in bed. Some people may feel a heavy pressure on their chest, like a heart attack. Mortal terror sets in as you suddenly realize you're not alone. And then you have the audio and visual wild hallucinations that are projected on your actual physical surroundings. So, of course, there are very few things more terrifying than being unable to move or scream for help while unspeakable horrors stalk you in the night. Valuable information is lost when these genuine encounters are dismissed as sleep paralysis-induced hallucinations by eyewitnesses, who are comforted, of course, by this advice, because it is less upsetting to believe that it was all just a dream rather than confront the fact that these entities can violate our homes with impunity.
Robert, can you briefly explain what you understand to be the difference between a non-human intruder incident and simple sleep paralysis, as well as why you feel these distinctions of different kinds of encounters with entities is so very important, and why you feel it merits immediate and serious study?
Well, let's take the first part. There are four classic symptoms of aware sleep paralysis that negate ASP as a blanket explanation for paranormal home invasions. Number one, the essential never-changing symptom of sleep paralysis is waking up paralyzed. So if you don't wake up paralyzed, then you're not experiencing aware sleep paralysis. In 18 of our 80 cases, less than 25% of the witnesses mention any inability to move. This leaves 62 cases with no connection with aware sleep paralysis because the witness can move. The other thing is the unseen presence. Number two, one of the more commonly reported symptoms of sleep paralysis is that of a sensed presence. Now, you have to understand, nothing is ever seen. The witness will say, "I feel something, but I never saw it. I just felt an evil presence in the room." And this unseen or just out of sight presence is at odds with my reports that I have of visible non-human intruders. Genuine encounters deal with eyewitness sightings. The third thing is something we call the folklore symptom. Now, many people have a sense of suffocation, or it feels like they're having a heart attack, as if something is sitting on their chest. What causes this is during REM sleep, your diaphragm acts as a bellows, and during sleep paralysis, they feel a chest pressure as if someone is standing or sitting on their chest. Now, this chest pressure in Newfoundland is called the old hag. In Korea, they call it being pressed down by a ghost. In Mexico, it's called a dead person on you. So in culture after culture, it is ghosts or demons or monstrous, terrible things that sit on your chest and steal your breath away. None of our witnesses to home invasion by paranormal entities report this frightening signature folklore symptom of chest pressure. And last is the dream overlap. People talk about hallucinations being caused by aware sleep paralysis. The truth of the matter is that very few have hallucinations, and most commonly, they're audio hallucinations. People hear voices. The voices are the stuff of your typical bad dreams. They're described as sounding sinister or of a taunting or threatening nature. And in the distinct minority of cases, the mental fusion of normal wakeful awareness and dream overlap can result in wacky and sometimes scary things, like a ceiling fan can turn into a fairy with wings. But the moment that the person wakes up, the dream goes away. Waking up during a paranormal home invasion doesn't make the entity go away.
Is there anything that can make it go away?
Well, if they notice that you notice them, they seem to be very upset and taken by surprise when they realize that they're being observed. So that can make them go away, or something I call the knockout takes place.
And what's that? Can you explain that? And I understand that you believe that the knockout is the most important aspect of your research.
Well, it's the most important part of the encounters. The best way to describe the knockout is to perhaps relate a couple of cases. In 2011, a married couple was on vacation. A husband woke up to find two beings standing at the foot of their bed. He propped himself up on his elbow and was about to say something when he received this very clear thought. Something is wrong. He sees us. The man suddenly became very sleepy and tried to fight the urge to lie back down, but it was no use. The next thing he knew, it was morning. There was a case in North Lauderdale, Florida in 1991, where a man woke up in the middle of the night to see a bright light in his living room. He leaned over his sleeping wife to see a stunted individual wearing a cloak standing at a counter with its back to him. He then heard a voice in his mind that told him to go back to sleep. He did lie back down for a minute, then sat up a second time and again heard the mental voice telling him to go back to sleep. He went back to sleep. There was a case of a Jacksonville woman found herself being dropped onto her bed in January 13th of 2000. Close to her face, she saw a huge head with a thin body and felt a puff of breath coming from the entity's open mouth. She sensed that it was surprised that she had awakened. Terrified, she fell asleep. And that's the primary thing that I discovered, is that no matter how terrifying the incident, no matter how much there was a sense of danger, each individual that fell asleep almost immediately and slept soundly until morning.
Why is that important?
Well, it's important because they can control the narrative. The entities, when they're discovered, will do one of three things. They will pass through walls and disappear that way. They will vanish in plain sight. Or they will render the eyewitness unconscious, which is, of course, what I call the knockout. They can somehow manipulate our consciousness.
Robert, how often do these non-human intruders or paranormal prowlers show up in people's bedrooms at home while they're supposedly peacefully sleeping?
That is the question, is how often does it happen? We hear cases. There are cases. Albert Rosales has documented thousands of encounters with various non-human entities.
So how would it help people if the medical community recognized the differences in these entities and the effects upon people? Why is that so critical to the general public?
Well, to the general public now, you're a person and you're having some of these incidents occur, what you believe are occurring. Usually you don't understand what it is. All you know that it might terrify you. So by using the results of my research, you would be able to quickly determine whether what you are experiencing is a terrifying but harmless medical condition, or you're actually receiving paranormal home invasions, non-human beings doing something in your home while you're sleeping.
Overall, percentage-wise, are they more often good or bad, peaceful or violent encounters, or how often are injuries sustained?
Well, injuries are not sustained quite as often as pain. There are more cases of people enduring pain as opposed to physical injury. But you have to think about that for a minute. Researchers, paranormal authors, sometimes we deal so often with the extraordinary that we almost take it for granted as being mundane. And it's not. These are cases of something in your home where you should be safe. You know, the doors are locked, the windows are locked, you're snug in your bed, and you should be safe and sound. And while you're snoozing away, something is going on, something that you're probably not aware of. And when it comes to a paranormal home invasions, anything goes. There is a menagerie out there, different creatures, shadow people, creatures that glow, creatures that look like humans, shorter, taller, some of them are very non-human. With sleep paralysis, once you wake up, it's over. When you wake up to paranormal prowlers, it's just beginning.
Well, he knows his stuff, Cheryl, doesn't he?
He does. He has it all categorized and labeled and separated down to every symptom.
And how did you find him? He's pretty good.
Actually, he works with Phyllis Galdi at Fate Magazine, and
right.
Phyllis and I communicate from time to time and talk about the different topics and who is available and who researches certain things. And I was looking for someone to talk about sleep paralysis and shadow people, and he was on the list.
Heidi Hollis, of course, the originator of Shadow People, is doing our podcasting now for the Paranormal Podcast Network, Cheryl. She does a great job for us.
Oh, fabulous. She absolutely is. Absolutely.
Are you scared of some of these things that you hear? I mean, when you hear about these non-human intruders and shadow people and things like that, I mean, does that bother you personally?
I actually have had some of those encounters, so I can relate to it. And I would say that it is true that if you've ever had one of those, it's very terrorizing, very frightening. It's something you never forget. So I learned a lot in working with Robert about the identification of the different types of these paranormal prowlers and the different things that are encountered, and I could relate to three different situations.
What do you think they want from us?
Well, that was a question that I had asked him, and we really don't know. We don't know the answer, and someone who's been a longtime researcher of these paranormal entities, we don't have the answer. He doesn't have the answer. The researchers don't have the answers. It's like UFOs and ETs. We don't have all the answers. We're on a constant quest to find out what they want. But it's obvious that they're feeding on something from the human body. And like he says, they show up in the middle of the night. Someone is peacefully sleeping. You're paralyzed in many of the cases. You can't move. In some cases, there's an unseen presence, but a very frightful presence and very paralyzing presence. In some cases, there is an identity of perhaps a hooded entity. And sometimes they come through the walls, materialize, and then dematerialize or even go back through the wall. So there are many strange combinations in all of these, and that's what I found very, very interesting. They're obviously superior to us in so many ways, or else we would have control of them, which we don't, and we just don't know what they want. But it does create fear and terror when you're the victim.
Does he or has he ever had an experience himself?
Yes, he has, and I ask him about that, and he talks about that in my second segment, which is coming up.
And in that second segment, does he talk about the telepathic theory of the knockout?
Yes, he does. He does continue to talk about the knockout theory that's telepathic, obviously, which renders the victims helpless to stay awake. And it's he said that that's one thing that he has distinguished throughout all of the research across the board here, that the victims involuntarily and instantly go back to sleep, but it's under the power and the direction of these uninvited psychic vampires. So it's the unknown. Our universe is has a lot more beings in it than just us.
Would you say that this area is his expertise?
Yes, yes. He established his research agency, I believe, in 2012, and this is exactly what he focuses on, and has really done quite a bit of research throughout the world in various countries, and therefore he has been able to compare these similar cases that occur in cultures that are so different, but yet these nighttime paranormal stalkers are similar across the board in what the victims report.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back and chat more with Cheryl in her part two, and then in the last hour, conversations with Cheryl. We're going to take your calls with Cheryl Jones next hour here on Coast to Coast, sort of like open lines. So anything goes. Plus, if you want to share your own stories of shadow people or sleep paralysis, go ahead and do that as well. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you. We're back with Cheryl Jones as we're talking about her work into sleep paralysis, shadow people, non-human intruders, which is, I guess, Cheryl, this is pretty serious stuff, isn't it?
It is for the people who have had those encounters and who are the victims of it. I think it seems kind of unbelievable and something that you would never have to worry about if it never happened to you. But in many cases, it just happens once. In some cases, it's recurring. And in some cases, the same victims experience different entities over time. But it's not something you'll forget if it's ever happened to you, I can tell you that.
How did Robert seem to key in on this area? Is this like a specialty for him?
I talk with him about that, and he says it started in his childhood. And he tells us about what that event was and how that really piqued his interest. So, yes, it did happen to him in his childhood.
Interesting. Okay, well, go ahead with part two. Tell us about it.
Okay. I continue my conversation with Robert Gorman about this global nightmare of non-human intruders and what Robert calls the knockout, when the victim simply can't stay awake after the encounter. And by the way, that happens to be a featured story in the current issue of Fate magazine. But he talks about a strange case with shadow people, an odd case involving a couple experiencing the same paranormal thing at the same time, and what he calls the most terrifying paranormal nighttime bedroom case he's ever come across. And I ask Robert what he thinks the most perplexing question about the paranormal world is after all his years of serious research. But we start this segment with Robert's personal encounter with an entity in the dark of the night when he was just a child. Continuing now with our conversation.
Robert, I understand you've had a couple of experiences yourself, and one at a very early age.
Well, you know, it was the summer of 1963. I was an 11-year-old boy and sleeping peacefully, woke up unexpectedly because somebody had pulled my covers off and away. Two tall shadows lurked in my darkened bedroom that I shared with my younger brother, and I heard a voice that wasn't my father's. He said, "He is awake." A different deep voice, male, said, "He will dream he was bitten by a spider." And the next thing I knew, it was morning, late morning, and the spider in my vivid dream produced a wound on my left leg. And I could show my parents the mark. It was definitely a puncture wound. Whether it was a spider bite, you know, no one knew. But no one knew what to make of it.
So how did that impact the rest of your life, if you were to look at it at this point, looking backwards?
At the time, I didn't know that it had any impact other than it was a very, very weird experience. Once I began researching non-human intelligences and encounters, it all kind of fell into place.
Tell me about your other shadow person experiences where you told me that several things occurred at the same time that were paranormal.
Well, it was on October the 7th of 2008, and I woke up to the presence of a shadow in our master bedroom. Now, I retire alone every morning because I wake up around 4 a.m. My wife sometimes likes to be on the computer. Sometimes she'll be on the computer while I'm waking up at 4 a.m. So I remember thinking to myself that even though she was trying to be super quiet and tippy-toe around looking for whatever she was looking for, she really should just turn on the bedroom light so she doesn't trip over anything or stub her toes. I propped myself on an elbow and was about to tell her, you know, turn on the light, when the shadowy figure, which I thought was my wife, fled through the east wall of our bedroom, knocking over a pile of paperback books in the process. Now, the books were stacked atop a low box against the wall. The wall was 7 feet from my bed. The bedroom door is still closed. My wife was busy on the computer and had not entered our bedroom. What I found interesting, after I thought about it, was that whatever it was capable of floating through and passing through the wall of our bedroom. But yet, it was able to impact some physical energy, which knocked over a stack of paperback books that we were going to donate to the library. So it was ghostly and yet real at the same time, or at least those two things happened so close together, it was almost instantaneous.
Wow. Why do you think people go back to sleep so easily after these things happen?
Because they are made to go back to sleep. They are told to go back, forced to go back, coerced to go back to sleep. The entities in control are able to manipulate our consciousness.
Who or what do you think these mysterious beings are, and what do you think they want from the humans that they stalk?
Oh, you're good. I don't know that I really know. I don't know if anyone really knows, but a research associate of mine, Nick Redfern, has some pretty good ideas. And he wrote a book entitled Paranormal Parasites. And he says that there is a monstrous menagerie of supernatural entities that feed upon human victims without our knowledge, and writes that they are secretly feeding upon our psychic energy or essential life force as we sleep. He's not the only one to come up with that, but he's one of the few people to actually publish it to make it a matter of record. And he has included in his research a number of examples where this indeed may be the case. So I've often wondered myself, you know, what are these things doing while we're sleeping that is so important they don't want us to wake up? And the idea of them secretly feeding on our essential life force or souls is a pretty good theory.
That's scary.
Yes, that is very scary.
I mean, it's all scary, but that's in another scary category. Can you tell us about the strange case of the married couple that suffered sleep paralysis, both of them at the same time?
Well, yeah, not only is it strange because they both were paralyzed, but the entities involved were so different from many other entities that have been reported. It took place in Miami Lakes, Florida. The couple awoke to the sound of the back door opening and closing and footsteps leading to the bedroom. Now, both the man and the wife were unable to move and were curiously unafraid. The husband then saw three tall, heavyset figures. The wife was face down. She couldn't see anything. The figures were humanoid and dressed in, believe it or not, glittery black coveralls and some type of headgear that covered their faces. One of the figures approached the bed and looked down briefly at the husband, who noticed five large, thick fingers inside a gloved hand. All three strangers then left. Believe it or not, both witnesses went back to sleep.
So what do you take away from that kind of a case?
Well, first of all, simultaneous sleep paralysis is, I don't want to say it's rare, I want to say it's impossible. And it was one of the few cases where the witnesses were relatively able to understand how they entered the house. They entered the house through the door and left through the door, which is something also you don't see in any other paranormal home invasion cases. In fact, for the most part, how they enter the home is never known because the witnesses were asleep at the time. We know a little bit about how they leave. So other than the multiple eyewitness paralysis case, and it's not the only one, there are some others too, this case stands alone.
Do you believe within this whole entire group of various entities, there's a battle between the good and evil?
That's hard to say. Good and evil is, if you're saying that good is do no harm and evil, of course, is to do harm and to trick and deceive. Yes, there probably is a battle between good and evil going on right now.
Wow. What's the strangest or the most terrifying non-human intruder invasion case you've ever heard of?
Well, I could have said a number of things. However, the latest case was published by Nick Redfern, and it was published very, very recently. It was just this last October, and it involved Allison, a young lady from Texas who, when she was 17 in late 1998, began to feel very ill. She was losing weight at a tremendous pace, even though her appetite was healthy. And at the height of her illness, she confided to her mother that there was something she had not told her or the doctors, and that was that she had been playing with a Ouija board. And it was not too long after she played with a Ouija board that she woke in the middle of the night to see a pale-faced woman attired in a long and black hooded robe standing next to her bed. The woman, she said, was very tall, around 6'3" or 6'4", skin white, eyes bulging, and Allison was unable to move as the woman closed in on her. It said she gave a loud, satisfying groan at the same time that the girl suddenly felt ill and cold. She then retreated into the darkness. Now, this was happening almost every night, where this thing was feeding on some part of her life essence. And at the end, people familiar with various paranormal entities was able to use sage and ritual to protect the young girl, who eventually returned to health.
Wow. Well, they don't all sound like alien invasions. There's a myriad of so many different kinds of entities.
Yes, there are hooded beings. There are, as I said before, there are shadow creatures and creatures that glow. There are creatures that look like little gnomes. There are, of course, your typical grays and mantis-type beings, reptilian beings, furry beings. There's an entire menagerie going on right now.
How do you believe shadow people fit into this whole paranormal, non-human intruder picture?
Well, some shadow people are capable of moving objects and, of course, causing pain, causing injury. So they're not just they're not the wispy shadow that you would see on Peter Pan when he was having trouble trying to capture his shadow. These things have a mind of their own.
Wow. You believe that genuine non-human interactive intelligence is responsible for quite a few of this kind of activity around the world. What is your takeaway after looking back at your years of research and work? And what do you think is the most valid from all of this?
Well, I think somebody that's not from around here is playing with us, that this intelligence, they know how to operate in their reality and ours, maybe in several realities. And I believe that these are all interconnected. Poltergeists, shadow people, glowing beings, UFOs, the fairy lore, I believe we're all in one way or another somewhat interrelated.
Robert, what's the most perplexing question still in your mind about these non-human invader intelligences that you would like to find the answer to?
Well, the whole idea between the Non-Human Intruder Project and my non-human research agency is to try to see how or why these entities and humans interact. They apparently need us for something, whether it's curiosity or food or energy. There has to be some sort of symbiotic relationship that I haven't quite put my finger on yet.
So of everything you've investigated over the years, all of the paranormal activity and the entities and any topic that one could come up with under the paranormal umbrella, what drives you most? Where is your most focused energy?
Time. This all somehow relates to time, and I'm trying to sort that out. I believe that a lot of the phenomena that we are discussing somehow lives outside of our time-space continuum and is able to come into our reality, is able to pause time, make changes, and leave. And that they're just able to manipulate our time. And you see bits and pieces and hints of that in a lot of these cases, whether it be UFOs or ghosts, poltergeists. And I'm just trying to make sense of it all.
Robert, what's coming up next for your investigative research?
Well, I'm into a lot of things right now. Of course, I'm still tracking down the non-human invaders. And my latest obsession is the Skinwalker Ranch in Utah.
Obsession? Are you involved?
I have a lot of research efforts going on right now with any type of information that they release. I analyze it and give them feedback.
Where can people find that?
Well, you can find just about anything you want. All of my information is out there. You can go on Facebook. I have a non-human research agency page. I have a It's Not Sleep Paralysis page. And then, of course, you can go to my own personal Facebook webpage. It's open to the public. And everything that I deal with is put out there free of charge.
Well, I hope you can find out the answer, because let us know here, too. We'd like to know. We'd like to know how to create a little bit more time sometimes. Man, thank you so much, Robert, for being here with us tonight. And it's been so great talking with you and hearing about your research and your analytical investigative work. Scary, but informative. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Well, George, I find it very interesting that Robert's most perplexing question involves the quest to understand how a lot of the phenomena he researches and he believes somehow lives outside of our time-space continuum, and he's able to come into our reality, or these entities are able to pause time, make changes, and leave because they're able to manipulate our time with bits and pieces spread throughout all these different types of entity cases. And that's just really fascinating.
I was surprised by how he said time was really his expertise.
Yes, his most perplexing aspect of his research with the paranormal world. Yes, I found that interesting as well. He really thinks that it's really connected and that all of these different entities, including the UFOs, including all of the paranormal entities and beings, is all related.
Yeah, it sure is. We're going to take calls with Cheryl Jones next hour, of course. Cheryl, of everything that you cover yourself, what do you particularly like?
I have to say I'm partial to miracles and angelic interventions because I know that's real. I know a lot of people who've had these experiences, as I have myself. So that's, if you know, you really can't just pick one thing that you like. It's like picking a favorite child or a favorite pet. But I think those are so inspiring, and it's always good to hear another good story.
I think so, too. Tell us about your website. How can people track you down?
Well, it is CherylJones.com, CherylJones.com, and you can email me there.
All right, we're going to come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM with Cheryl Jones. We're going to take your phone calls, your questions, your stories, wide-open paranormal questions, by the way. It's not only just what you hear tonight, but if you want to talk about other things, UFO investigations and things, jump on board as well. And again, her website is linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Cheryl with the two L's, CherylJones.com. We shall be back in a moment for you right here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't touch your dial. We'll be right back.